Well, SPACs, you know, special purpose acquisition companies or blank check companies, they have 2 years to do a deal or they have to give the money back to investors. And right now, there's a lot of money out there that's got to find a deal. Let's get some thoughts, though, on the SPAC space. Patrick Galley is CEO and Chief Investment Officer of the investment management firm River North Capital Management. They specialize in opportunistic strategies in niche markets. They have $4.95 billion in assets under management. Patrick joining us on the phone in Chicago. Patrick, welcome to Bloomberg. Nice to have you here.
Thanks, Cheryl. Thanks for having me.
Well, so we're going to talk about SPACs in a moment, but you guys do seem to focus at your firm, on making distinctions between efficient and inefficient markets and market strategies. How do you define or distinguish kind of the difference between the two?
Yeah, great question. Our firm historically is focused on trading closed-end funds, which we tend to be inefficient in a secondary market. So closed-end funds trade on the New York Stock Exchange typically. Oftentimes, they can trade at discounts and premiums to their net asset value or the underlying value of the closed-end fund itself. And so, that in itself tends to be an inefficiency that we try to take advantage of. Oftentimes, fear and greed is a driver of that inefficiency. Mm-hmm. As there's more fear in the market, like we saw in March of 2020, you see record discounts, and then at certain points in time in the market, you can see premiums out there. And so, to us, that's a clear distinction of an inefficiency versus, from our perspective, a lot of equities out there. What's the intrinsic value of an equity? Really, nobody knows. It's everybody's guess. But a closed-end fund, you actually know what it's worth versus where it's trading. And that's really how we think about SPACs as well, which we can get into.
Well, let's talk about that specifically. SPACs, efficient or inefficient, or it depends?
Yeah. We think they're relatively inefficient. I mean, if you think about a SPAC, and I think there's a lot of misconceptions out there, right? To us, you first and foremost, you have to define what a SPAC is. And a SPAC, that is a portfolio of cash sitting in a trust, and the sponsor has a two-year period of time to make an acquisition, which you alluded to at the beginning. But I think the misconception is that a lot of people look at once the acquisition is done, and that cash merges into a private company and that private company is now public, I think a lot of people think of that private company as still a SPAC. And we just don't think that's the case. So if you think about just the SPAC itself and the portfolio of cash, you can trade at a discount or a premium to that trust value. And we think there's a lot of inefficiencies there. And frankly, today, it's a much more attractive marketplace than it was in, for example, February, when everybody thought, SPACs were the greatest thing. They're actually trading at premiums to cash. But we think it's a much better investment environment today because they're trading at discounts to that cash that's sitting in trust.
Because it is definitely a very different environment from where they were. I mean, how do you then, as an investor, because I'm thinking about, we're often talking about, there are a couple stories today, just today, billionaire Ron Burkle, he's got a SPAC, it's combining with a Berlin-based online retailer of bicycles, tennis equipment, and camping gear. We're talking about Cigna Sports. Bill Ackman this week, a SPAC that will be actually three SPACs and a Spark 2, which is a special purpose acquisition rights company. I mean, we're kind of learning as we go. So how do investors need to look at each and every SPAC, if you will?
Yeah, no, and that's the most important part. It's the delineation of the SPAC when the cash is still sitting in trust prior to the merger that has occurred, right? And once that merger has occurred, it's not a SPAC anymore, and it becomes a very different risk profile post what's known as, it's called the de-SPACing process, right? When that private company merges into the trust. And now the investors would have the risk of actually that company. But prior to that de-SPACing, then the investors really only have the risk of the cash sitting in the trust, and investors have the option to tender their shares and get the cash back in the trust if they don't like the acquisition or if it's not trading well in the secondary market. So that's, from our standpoint as opportunistic investors, we're getting a free look on how the market appreciates or doesn't appreciate the potential acquisition that's been announced. And if it's trading at a premium to that cash value, we can sell it. And if it doesn't, then we can trade it. We can tender our shares and get the cash back in the trust. But that's it's a very important distinction, because it is it's a really different risk. Once the de-SPACing occurs and the merger occurs, investors have the risk of a private company that now is public.
You see it play out in the marketplace.
From our perspective, we typically don't have it.
You see it play out in the marketplace. Like, it does feel like when there are certain SPACs announced, depending on who's behind it, it can kind of run up. I mean, I'm looking at the IPOX SPAC index, which is down, I don't know, about 22% from the mid-February high. So we've definitely seen a pullback. And that's why, I guess you say, when you look at whether it's the valuations or what has happened, maybe there's some more opportunity. But it is interesting to watch the life cycle. And there's often a lot of enthusiasm at the beginning based on who's doing it. But later on, depending on where the money, what companies bought, it's a very, very different story. Just got about 25 seconds left.
Yeah, no, and I'm glad you brought up that index, because, you know, there are companies in there that have already de-SPACed and are no longer SPACs. But that performance will ride with the market. And as you look at, compare that to maybe other growth innovative companies that have gone up and come down. I mean, there are certain indexes or ETFs that are out there that have depreciated over 40% since February. And there's a high correlation there. But you have to have the distinction between the SPACs and the post-SPACing.
Well, this was a great conversation, and I really feel like we learned a lot, because you've got to understand the terminology in the life cycle, because it's very different from the beginning to end. Patrick, thanks. Patrick Galley, CEO, CIO of River North Capital Management, on the phone from Chicago.